Now, love stories, they're all around us. They're on our television every night. They're in the books we read. They even infiltrate the intricacy of the constructed algorithms on our social media feeds. Now, this morning, we are also going to talk about love stories. You can't escape from them here on Weekend Breakfast, but this is not your typical love story that you are used to. Queerspace is an emerging independent theatre company making representation and inclusion of the widespread LGBTQIA+ community a priority in producing, and they are here to talk about their latest production. It is called Gruesome Playground Injuries. We're joined in studio this morning by Ricky Jade, Laura Morris, and director McKinley Bowden. Everybody, let's pop your mics on. Thanks for joining us.
Hello.
This is exciting. Now, some of you out there listening may remember McKinley. We had a chat a couple weeks ago. We're going to link to that chat on our podcast when this one goes up at the end of the show if you want to find out more about Queerspace and the incredible things that they're doing. But this morning, you three wonderful people are here to talk about Gruesome Playground Injuries. Tell me. The title like makes me a little throwback to some traumatic like year four pushing on the playground. But tell us what it's about. What are we exploring with this play?
Well, I think it's funny that you mentioned pushing on the playground.
We have a lot of that.
Yeah. I think the best part of the show is that it's less being pushed and more pushing themselves.
Okay.
And so I'd say what the show really is about engaging in healthy romantic relationships as a queer person and how difficult and scary that can be.
Okay. All right. So what drew you then, McKinley, to want to put this on as a production for Queerspace? What was it about this production that made you think, yes, this is what we have to do?
Well, I knew when I was choosing a show, I wanted it to be A, something that pushed the mission for Queerspace, and B, was something that I had a really personal connection to. And when I read this show for the first time, I remember feeling like this story was something that I understood. And so I was like, why can't two beautiful, lovely gay women come in and tell this story and not have to compromise any of the narrative or these characters?
Because it's originally a play with a man and a woman, a heterosexual couple.
That's right. That's exactly right.
So then, Laura and Ricky, what was it that drew you to the production? What was it that made you want to be a part of it?
Well, when I was presented with this play, I devoured it within 20 minutes. So I read that in one sitting and I was just blown away.
That is, for a start, a huge effort, and you should be proud of that. Anyone who can read anything
I'm very good at reading fast.
Cool. Right.
Yeah, so the story just captivated. And then when I found out that it was going to be between two women, I've known of this story for quite a while. So, and I see myself in Kayleen quite a bit.
Yeah.
So I just knew that I had to give it a go and try and put my own spin on Kayleen. And especially like with it being a queer play now and having a different directive for the play, like it's fresher. It's relevant. You know, we're in 2019. We should have more plays like this.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So the play follows Kayleen and Doug, is it young people? They start quite young, don't they, in this play?
8 years old, baby.
So do you guys actually play 8-year old versions of your play? That would have been That would be so. Did you find yourself referring back to your own 8-year old experiences, I guess?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
A long time ago.
Right? I can't remember anything of 8 years old other than like cartwheels on the playground. Like that's all I remember. But that would be a really interesting challenge. And then from what I understand, it goes forward like 30 years.
Yeah.
So you're going either side of the current ages that you are now, quite, you know, a way either side. Was that challenging as an actor to have to, I guess, encompass such a huge, like 3 decades is a lot of life to encompass, and there's a lot of growing for people in 3 decades.
Oh yeah. It's like, yeah, like you said, it's 30 years. That was the biggest challenge because I don't know what an 8-year old does. You know, like I'm not going to go to the playground and be like, what do you do?
Yeah.
Like, how do you act? Like kind of thing. So it was kind of really hard to like get into the mindset. But I think when we play around with it and then, you know, we have this exercise where we physically embody what we think our character at 8 years old is like, and we play around with that. So it's never the same thing twice.
Mm.
And then, you know, you deal with different things going, like we deal with a whole life, basically. It's a life of a relationship, you know, and I think that was the biggest challenge, definitely.
What about directing at McKinley? What were some of the challenges you found bringing it to life?
I was blessed with amazing actors, so that was a gift from the beginning. But I'd say the biggest challenge directing a show that takes the space of 30 years is making sure that we see the growth of these characters. And we see what they're learning and what they're refusing to learn about themselves.
Yes.
And I think that is really the heartbreak for our audience, but it also comes, that's where a lot of the comedy comes from, is the conflict and the struggle.
Mm. So it's a dark comedy. That's how it's described.
The darkest, baby.
Yeah.
Do you have to be like, do you think, I don't even know how to put this, you have to have a dark sense of humour to kind of...
Well,
get along?
Every single person in this room is so twisted.
Okay.
I think
definitely.
I think
this side of the desk too.
Can't disagree with that.
Yeah, I feel that darkness is something that we also made sure in casting is something that our actors had naturally as part of them, and is something that they can access. So.
Oh, yeah, this chick went dark.
Yeah, 100%.
So with that dark side, again, then of the characters and of the play itself, was that an emotionally taxing experience, do you think? Because you've been in production for a little while now. It's not long until the show opens. Mm. Have you found it a bit of an emotionally straining experience?
Of course, absolutely. I think there's been... we cover such a range of sensitive topics, and I think... diving into those, even though you think you're prepared, there's only a certain amount of, you know, mental preparation you can do. But I think having the support of wonderful people around you and having such a safe space really, really aids that. And knowing that at any time, you know, take a breath, take 5 minutes, come back. But I haven't personally had an issue really... dealing with it, like it's not affected me in a negative way, in more of a positive way, that I get to tell this story beautifully and respectfully to an audience and tell them that delicately as well as realistically as well, I think.
Now, speaking of the audience, and this is something that I definitely wanted to cover with all three of you, what are you hoping the audience takes away from this production? What are you hoping that they sit down and they really absorb through watching the performance?
What I want the audience to take away from the show is the same thing that I have. And it's like Ricky just said, it's emotionally alleviating to be able to experience, watch and see these characters go through such emotional turmoil and be able to share in their pain and be able to release some of yours through their own. And the way the story is written is just so, so powerful. It almost guarantees that no audience can leave that space without being changed or moved in some way by these characters.
Gosh, I'm in. If you have got like personal growth, change, love stories, dark humor, boom, I'm there. Like, you've sold me like a hook, line and sinker. Now, my favorite thing about talking to casts, especially when they come into the studio and especially when they've obviously got like a friendship and a chemistry like you do, what's some of the crazy moments? Been because
how
I
much
am,
time do you have?
Yeah. I'm 124% sure that you guys have had some insane moments through the production. How long have you been in production? How long have you been rehearsing?
8 weeks now.
Yeah, okay.
8 weeks.
That's like a lot of time to get to know people.
Oof.
That's like an intimate amount of time to like get a relationship with someone.
Yeah, and playing these characters, I mean, we've seen the ugly. We've seen the ugly, the bad, and the gross.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been empowering, I think, for all of us. And being able to share this experience with someone else is why I do theatre.
Yeah, absolutely. What was it? I'm so curious to know, Ricky and Laura, what it was that drew you guys to Queer Space as well. Because we've talked to McKinley about Queer Space and why you started it and kind of your journey to making it the incredible thing that it is today. But I'd love to know what it was before the play that drew you to Queer Space and that drew you to this company.
Well, with Queer Space, like I wanted it, like it drew me to it because I want it to be the norm.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like we shouldn't, you know, I don't really believe in like labels, that kind of thing. I think we're just normal people. We're just people. And I think with the mission statement that McKinley's got, like who wouldn't be drawn to that?
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And telling stories in a different way from a hetero perspective. and then getting to tell it in a different way.
Yeah.
So why can't that be the normal?
Absolutely. You know what Absolutely.
I mean? Yeah.
Now, where can we get tickets? When can we see the show? Where is it happening? I need all the details. I'm going to get a pen and paper out now. Tell me how we're getting along. How are we getting involved?
Yeah. So you can get tickets online at queerspacearts.com.au.
Where are we performing?
We're performing at the Playhouse in Redfern.
Love.
Mm-hmm. We open on April 12th. We'll be having 5 performances. You guys don't want to miss out. You can also check us out on Facebook, Queer Space Arts, yeah. And you can find tickets there.
Oh my gosh.
Options, baby.
See, now this is a whole thing. And I was so excited because I'm going away at the end of April. And I'm like, no, I will change my flight.
Oh, I should have said
that. I will change my flight. So I can't
do this. For you.
And Queer Space, more broadly, we can't end the conversation without talking about how people can find out more about Queer Space as
Yeah. I'd say the best way to check out Queer Space and get involved would be through our socials. We have Instagram and Facebook, and then our website, queerspacearts.com.au.
Beautiful, wonderful, amazing. We will let you go, but McKinley, Ricky, Laura, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Oh, no, girl, thank you.
See, now, if I don't turn their microphones off now, I will have too much fun and this will go way over and you will miss all the Think programming that is coming up in 6 minutes' time. We're going to pop some links on the podcast at the end of the show if you want to check out more, toscr.com/weekendbreakfast. We'll also pop a chat to a link, I should say, to the chat McKinley and I had a couple weeks ago.